Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Slipping and falling on ice can result in terrible injuries.
If someone is injured in an accident, what should they do?
They can call us at 1-800-LAW-LINE for a free consultation. We can quickly determine whether there is a claim worth pursuing, and there's never a fee unless there's a recovery.
If you're injured in an accident, call 1-800-LAW-LINE. That number again is 1-800-LAW-LINE.
Check the backseat. Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
We asked parents to share their journey of adopting teens.
They changed who I am because I can't see life without them in it.
Visit AdoptUSKids.org to learn more. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Football season is here, and just like winning teams, your engagement should be all about the best. So if you're ready to pop the big question this season, why not visit the experts at London Jewelers? With top-notch professionals and cutting-edge technology, London Jewelers can help you select or even design the absolute perfect ring. So whether you're starting over or starting new, let the professionals at London Jewelers be a part of your journey. Visit any one of their convenient 6 locations across New York and New Jersey. London Jewelers, serving you and your family since 1926.
Get the latest on the Giants and Jets on WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM-HD1, New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
All right. Noon, 12:01. On the Fan, McMonagle here with you in the midday. We got you for another 2 hours, 888-808-1019. Talking a lot of football today, Jets and Giants and the disasters that they are. We'll go around the league a little bit with Brian Baldinger coming up at 12:40. You know, the other thing that's happened with football that I just saw, the finalist, the final 15 for this year's Hall of Fame class have been announced, and... the Is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer conversation is back. Woo! We missed it. I love that. Is that oh man. As an overnight host, that's one of the you go right, man. 3 o'clock in the morning, nothing going on. Is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer? I want him not to get in just for that. Now I'm in the afternoon. I might not need it as much, but I love that conversation. But he's back in. As one of the final 15, there's a couple of no-brainers added to the list this year, and we're going to see if Eli Manning gets in. You know, they typically, what is it, three to five from this list typically get in. Unfortunately, Tiki did not make the final 15 this year. We all know how we feel about him here, and me personally as a Giant fan, Tiki Barber is absolutely Hall of Famer, one of the greatest running backs of his generation. In my mind, top two back in the league for a couple of years. As you know, the beginning of a dual threat guy in the league, you know, him and a handful of others, really. I mean, you know, Marshall is, you know, was the only guy I could think of off the top of my head in that generation that was, you know, better. But he does not make the final 15. Hopefully, that's in the future for him. But you got Drew Brees, obvious. Larry Fitzgerald, obvious. Frank Gore. Was Frank Gore on it last year? Is this Frank Gore's first year, too? I'm just looking at the list. I think this is Frank Gore's first year. Long career. Torrey Holt and Luke Kuechly back on it. Terrell Suggs back on it. Adam Vinatieri. Oh, is that? Yeah, 2025. I think, no, this is the first one I'm trying to see. I think that is the first year. Let me see if I can get the 24. Looking at the wrong list for which one was last year. But Adam Vinatieri on it, Reggie Wayne on it, Jason Witten, Darren Woodson. There are a lot of guys who are, I mean, quite clearly looking at first time. I mean, you know, Drew Brees, Hall of Famer, there's no doubt. Larry Fitzgerald, Hall of Famer, no doubt. I mean, Adam Vinatieri is the greatest clutch kicker of all time. Jason Witten, one of the best tight ends of his era. Reggie Wayne and what he was able to do with Manning. Darren Woodson. Torrey Holt and Luke Kuechly both, I think, got a lot of votes last year. So I don't know if Eli Manning is going to make it this year. There's a lot of tough names on that list. And you've got one quarterback for sure is going to get in ahead of him. I think we're having this, unfortunately for Giant fans, I think we're having this conversation again next year. And there's no doubt in my mind he is deserving. I think, you know, we go through this every year. Yes, he only won playoff games in the 2 years he won Super Bowls. Who cares? He won two Super Bowls. And he was not just along for the ride, like so many will tell you. He was a driving force in those. Yes, you know, getting to Tom Brady in the pass rush clearly was the most important element of that Super Bowl. But I would tell you he's got some of the more, I mean, that obviously to avoid the sack and have the helmet catch is a signature Super Bowl moment. And I would venture to say that the Manningham throw and that throw to Manningham on the sideline in the second Super Bowl in 2011, that's the best throw in NFL history. Like, I firmly believe that is the greatest throw in NFL history. How quickly he turns and sees him and instantly puts it up and, I mean, drops it in the bucket. And as someone here who is, and for most Giant fans, they don't feel this way, but I'm just fed up with Tom Brady. I'm tired of him. You see him everywhere. This is going to be the first AFC Championship game without either him or Patrick Mahomes in it since 2010 when the Jets were in it against the Steelers. This is the last time we haven't seen one of those two quarterbacks. It got to a point for me where it was like, oh, we can't have an AFC Championship game without Tom Brady. Can't have a Super Bowl without Tom Brady every year. Well, is Tom Brady going to be the next, you know, or, you know, what does this game do for his legacy? Like, I was just tired of it. Tired of him. I'm tired of it. I am. So I'm not the biggest Tom Brady guy. Even though most Giant fans don't have a problem with him because they beat him twice. But my favorite moment possibly ever, and my favorite moment of the two Super Bowls, just one distinct moment besides the final zeros and the confetti and knowing that they were Super Bowl champions. If you remember watching the game, Tom Brady is watching the replay on the big board, on the big screen, of the Manningham catch. And his frustration when he recognizes that it's a good catch. He talks to himself and walks back to the bench. He's standing on the sidelines, looking up at the big screen, sees it, says to himself, it's a bleeping catch, and walks away. It's one of my favorite moments. It's one of my favorite moments. And I'm sorry, Eli Manning taking down those two with their 6 Super Bowls, 7 for Brady, to win those games and to have that signature game in the cold against Green Bay and beating Brett Favre, to beating the 15-1 Packers and, you know, the second run, to, you know, taking the beating he took against the 49ers in that championship game. I mean, the list goes on. And that Manningham throw, for me, is the signature moment for him, because I honestly believe when you take the circumstances of the Super Bowl, he's looking the other way, takes a quick glance to his left, and throws you couldn't place it any better. For my money, that's the greatest throw in NFL history. Eli Manning's a Hall of Famer, and I hope it's in 2027. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls. Zach in Holbrook. What's up, Zach?
Hey, Chris. Appreciate you taking my call again.
You got it, buddy.
First time I talked to you was a couple weeks ago when I was losing my mind over the benching Jackson Dart situation. Mm-hmm. So good to talk to you again. Quick on this Joe Shane debate here. Now, I tend to kind of fall in line with Kenny where, like, I go back and forth. I can't decide what I want. All I know is that I want what's best for Jackson Dart.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, what I think they shouldn't have done is fire Daboll and just gotten rid of Bowen and see how that played out for a few weeks. I believe you said the same thing on the air a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And you know what? I tend to agree with you.
There was one reason and one reason only, Zach, that they fired him when they fired him, the concussion. That's it.
They
bought into the narrative that he was being reckless with the quarterback. They believed, you know, someone got in ownership's ear and told them this is our, you know, future. He's our most prized asset, and because this coach needs wins to not get fired, he's running him crazy, and we are going to lose our best asset if you don't take this coach away from the quarterback. That's the I firmly believe. Now, I know because they were going to fire him for losing against Denver and decided not to do it. Like, yeah. I firmly believe it wasn't losing that Bear game. It was losing the quarterback to injury and all of the noise around him and how many visits to the tent and how, like, we forget now, Brian Daboll was literally being accused of putting his job above the health and well-being of the quarterback. Like no other coach tries to win games, just Brian Daboll. Other coaches who have job security, it's okay if they lose. Like, it's absolute garbage and nonsense. But that's why he was fired when he was fired. The concussion sealed his fate. And if you watch that post game, you know that's exactly how Brian Daboll felt. Like, he knew the minute he went down that I'm screwed. I was told I better not get him hurt. I just got him hurt. I'm done.
Oh, yeah. He was deflated at that press conference.
Yep. Oh, my God. Yep.
So back to the Shane thing. You said that you know, you can't find anybody who can argue to keep Shane.
Yes.
Now, again, I don't know what I want, but for argument's sake,
let's do it.
I'll lay something out here. Evan and Tiki did some kind of exercise where they gave him a grade on how they think he has done as a GM and, you know, that whole conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I think they landed somewhere around a B- with their grade.
Right.
The most heavily weighted parts of that exercise, I believe, was that the Saquon blunder, that's obviously not a good one, but the two things that Joe Shane said he wanted to do when he first became GM was get a quarterback and make the offensive line better. He has succeeded in those two things. Now, a couple other quick things, I don't want to take up too much time here, but he's also drafted or put together what should be on paper probably the best front four defensive, you know, line in the entire league. Now, he can't make Dexter Lawrence be motivated. He can't make Abdul Carter show up to meetings or not sleep.
Mm-hmm.
He can't make Shane Bowen put together better schemes. He's done what he can, and, you know, he can't. He's not a coach, not a player. He's a GM.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where I'm going with this besides saying...
No, I think what you've said so far is fair.
I think he's maybe average or slightly above average GM, and if we get rid of him, what are the chances we get a highly above average GM?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like average at this point is kind of what you have to run with.
Yeah, listen, I don't disagree with some of the things you said. One, I mean, Dex, he did trade for Burns, you're right. He drafted Abdul Carter, but, you know, Carter hasn't made the impact that, you know, that you could say it's coaching or whatever. I mean, he just hasn't made the impact that he should have. And, you know, Dexter Lawrence, he didn't draft. But Andrew Thomas, he didn't draft. And the offensive line has really struggled up until this year, which he did make better, and he did get the quarterback right. That is 100%. He got the quarterback right. He did put on paper what should have been a much better defensive back front, but the defensive backfield has been atrocious. There are no linebackers, and the depth at the cornerback and safety positions has been atrocious. They lose one. They lose right in the Denver game. I think it was the Denver game. Adebo goes down. Banks comes in. He can't play. They traded up to draft Banks in the first round. He can't play as a backup. Now, he had a decent game last week, including defensively, not just the kick return. He played a little bit better. But he drafted Hyatt in the third round, who can't help an offense that was in desperate need of wide receiver help. I mean, Thibodeau has been a competent edge rusher, but nowhere near a top 10 pick in the NFL, not warranted of being a top 10 pick in the NFL draft. Evan Neal is the biggest bust maybe in franchise history. Like, that's how bad Evan Neal is. So there are some positives, and I do think they're in a position, and Neighbors, and again, I can't dismiss the Neighbors pick. I do think wide receivers are the easiest and project the best from college to the NFL. That's as safe a pick as you can have is a really talented breakout star wide receiver-wise in college to transition to the NFL. But still, like I said, Marvin Harrison Jr. seems right now to be a very big disappointment, if not bust, with the Cardinals. So I think Neighbors is proving, even though he's injured this year, and we'll see what he is moving forward, but he's proven to be the better player of the two so far in their early career. Yeah, I mean, look, you could say that there are positive moves along the way. When you're drafting as high as he is, you should have a bunch of positive moves. He should have more, in my estimation. He should have more. But here's the issue. They've been losing. Like, it's the overall record. It's too many losses attached to him to keep him. And again, what happens if they lose again this year? You keep him again because he hired a new coach? Like, I felt like they were connected, and I felt like if they were going to go, they should have went together. I don't disagree that he's had some good moves. Burns trade, massive success. But let go of Saquon, let go of McKinney, let go of Love. All those three players have been fantastic where they've gone, and the replacements for them up until this year with Scadaboo. I mean, even Tracy, I suppose. The Barkley one doesn't bother me as much, believe it or not. Tracy and Scadaboo have replaced him just fine. They're not him, but they've replaced him just fine. He wouldn't be winning games with the Giants anyway. It's not like the Giants would have won the Super Bowl last year with Saquon Barkley. But Love and McKinney, they let two really good players go and tried to address it in free agency, and it's been worse. And overall, they're picking in the top five, top 10 every year. Every year. What killed them was winning year one. We all know that. Mike in Middletown. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Chris. Thanks for taking my call. Congratulations on the bump up.
Thank you.
By the way, did you get your Beatles and Mono box set vinyl that came out earlier this year as a Christmas gift?
I did not. The entire box set out in Mono?
Yeah, they reissued it on vinyl. Excellent stuff.
Okay.
Really good. So, anyway, as far as Shane, I think he's the leak sources leaking to Schechter and all these folks he's coming back. Remember, he said in the bye week press conference, God willing, if I'm back here next year, you know, I'll be better next year. I think he's trying to put Bully, the Maras, and the Tishes to keep him, given his poor performance.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. They would have to have it, like, would Schefter really, like, take the guy whose job it is at his word, I'm coming back? Like, I don't know if they, or not Schefter, or whoever, like, I think they're talking around the organization. Now, the report from Pat Leonard is pretty much just that he's operating as if he's coming back. So that might come from Shane or people around Shane or people who are just watching Shane operate. I mean, yeah, I suppose that. That doesn't necessarily have to be someone in the know as much as in the know of Joe Shane's day-to-day functionality. But right now, I believe, again, show me the counter report, though, that says he's getting fired. Like, where is the reporting that his job is dicey other than everything will be under review at the end of the season? Right, that's all that's ever been said to counter the idea of he's guaranteed to come back. And I'm sorry, what else could have happened? Like, what happened down the stretch of the season that made it like, oh, man, I was really, after losing to Chicago again, I was really going to keep him. But now, you know, with Jameis Winston, they lost a tight game to the Lions. I got to fire him. They lost a tight game to Green Bay. I got to fire him. Like, I just, what happened down the stretch that suddenly it was like, oh, that Commanders game, 29-21, that was it. The Patriots kicking the crap out of him on Monday night. Now I can't bring back the GM. What specifically could have happened? They didn't fire him. They gave him control of the coaching search. And, yeah, okay, sure, everything's under review at the end of the season, sure. What changed? If they look at that Vikings game and go, well, this is it, I can't keep Joe Shane, then it's even worse than I thought. If they had conviction to keep Joe Shane going into that game and then saw the Viking game and said, oh, this is it, I can't take it. Like, that's crazy to me. Why are we valuing these dead games at these dead seasons and say, well, this is clear. Like, does he win his job back because they kicked the crap out of the Raiders? If they go and win this game against the Cowboys, do they suddenly go, well, you know what? I got to give Kafka some credit. Turn the team around. Two wins at the end of the year. Joe Shane, not so bad. Jackson Dart's playing well. The offensive line's blocking well. Cowboys played Dak, right? They've announced they're coming out and playing Dak. Managed to win that game. Dak wanted to play. Cowboys wanted to win. At home, in front of the fans, last game of the year, beat the Cowboys. You know what? I think Joe should come back. Do we think that should be the conversation the other way? Like, the decision should have been made then. If it wasn't made then, I don't understand it. And if anything that has happened or transpired the rest of the way, they haven't completely given up. They had a lousy performance against the Patriots. The Patriots kicked the crap out of a lot of teams. It was ugly, don't get me wrong. They didn't play very well against the Commanders. The Vikings, they chose to take the game out of the quarterback's hand, and last week they played well. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Quick break. Back with more of your calls.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Let me enjoy this for a minute.
Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, If they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Go sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Next. You know, a caller earlier, I got a couple of mech calls here. So let me just say something real quick about baseball for a second. Steve called earlier and talked about Imai and the Yankees aren't going to tender him a contract. The starting pitcher out of Japan is an interesting conversation right now. We saw Murakami, the big superstar first baseman who's supposed to come here and make this huge impact. And this time last year, you were waiting, you know, next offseason, a lot of this is he's going to get this massive contract. Obviously did not. His market completely collapsed. And right now it feels like Imai just acknowledged last week that he hasn't really gotten a major league offer. And I think the window closes Friday for him. So depending on where that market gets, I know that the Yankees don't have interest on a big contract for a starting pitcher with all the money they've already put into the rotation. Like, I just know that's not how they're thinking. If it gets to a number, I think they'd be crazy to pass on it too. But the Mets in particular, like, I know, you know, Senga hasn't worked out all that well, injury prone, pitching every fifth day. For the most part, outside of the end of last year, has pitched very well for them. But they're in desperate need of starting pitching. And I know right now they don't love giving contracts to starting pitchers, right? There was that early report at the beginning of the offseason that they were in on Framber Valdez. That has been debunked, and obviously they're not into it. And they're looking to make moves via the trade as well, or waiting out the market. Everyone's waiting out the market. His market closes on Friday. And everything you hear is he probably doesn't have the Yamamoto impact, but a Senga is a comparable, you know, he's got a fastball that rides up to 97. He's got some good stuff. He's got some swing and miss in his game in Japan, and they think it can translate here. Like, at some point, does David Stearns have to go out there and do something with the rotation? Like, are they going to do something? Like, yeah, they've changed the team. They've broken apart the core, right? That's pretty much been the only thing they've done. They've changed the bullpen from Diaz to two failed Yankee closers in Williams and Weaver. They've changed Pete Alonso to Jorge Polanco and Semien. They don't have an outfield, and they don't have a rotation. Now, the season isn't over. The offseason isn't over. A lot of these moves are still to be made. As we said, slow going. I don't think there's anybody that's off the board that has really gone to the core or the heart of, oh my God, that just kills the Yankee Met offseason. But if his market is completely collapsing, that's when David Stearns comes out, right? When the, whoa, is there a market collapsing somewhere? David Stearns will be there. Like this, I mean, at some point, you got to impact this rotation somehow. And I'm wondering if this gets to a point where he has to make a deal by Friday. Has to. Otherwise, he's going back to Japan, which I suppose is possible. I mean, you don't decide to try and come here and get a contract with Major League Baseball unless you really are in, you know, of the mindset of playing in Major Leagues. I don't think he wants to go back to Japan. I think he wants to play here. Contract needs to be done by Friday. Posting is done by Friday. He hasn't had an offer as of yet. This seems to be a guy that both teams who could use some starting pitching, the Mets in desperate need for it, the Yankees in need of a starter to help them get through the beginning of the season at worst, at best, another arm because you can't trust everybody coming back from injury. Are they going to do anything that surprises us at all? Are either of these teams going to make a jump in the area of anything that even slightly like, wow, thank you for giving us something? Because it feels like it's Bellinger or bust, really, for both of them. 888-808-1019. Let's get to Chippy in Queens. What's up, Chippy?
Yeah. How are you doing, sir? Thank you for taking my call. You got an awesome job. I'm going to explain to you what Mets do wrong, okay?
Okay.
Mets go and sign a soda, which is a wrong idea. That money could sign two pitcher and a batsman, right?
I suppose.
Now, I'm a Mets fan for 34 years, right? And Stearns, you don't got new car to buy. You go to the the junkyard.
Yeah.
To buy. So in my lifetime, I'm feeling pain. I'm not going to see Mets. So you know what I do? I bought up my all Mets gears. I done with Mets, man. Well, I done with Mets.
You're done with the Mets, Chippy? Come on. But I mean, come on. So your point is don't pay for Juan Soto because you got too much money to spend at the dumpster? Like, I mean, you just said he doesn't shop at the retail store. I mean, they spent a lot of money for Juan Soto. Juan Soto's not the Mets' problem. They can afford Juan Soto. They can afford him. He's a great player. That was not a mistake. That was a great move and a great signing. The problem is they need to go surround him with another bat because as of right now, he's getting walked. As of right now, Polanco and Simeon and Lindor and Vientos are the bats around him, and Beatty. Like, those are the bats around him. You don't have a left fielder. Your right fielder is your center fielder is a light-hitting center field defensive guy. Now, again, is Benj going to play? Probably as of right now, if they don't do anything in left field, which I can't imagine they won't. But, I mean, they are in desperate need of some starting pitching. And if Imai is going to be up against it to sign something or not play in Major League Baseball, I'm wondering how that market's going to intensify here in the next couple of days. Jesse in Queens. What's up, Jesse?
Hey, Chris. What's up? Good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you.
It makes too much sense, but Stern is not going to do it, I have a feeling. You know, he just wants to do it his way and is not interested. They're not really interested in contending, it seems, because they could have made some moves already just to fill in and whatever. We're going to be in January, February, everybody's reporting. I mean, you know, it's getting late early, you know?
So, no, absolutely.
You know, in my mind, it makes perfect sense. His market is crashing. He might take a 10 to 15, 2 or 3 year deal,
mm-hmm.
you know, to establish
his
value.
Take a 2 year deal with an opt-out clause or something. Like, he might be open to a bunch of different scenarios right now, knowing that he's got a couple days before he's not allowed to sign here.
And there's another guy, Akimoto,
yep.
who they compare to like a David Wright light type of player, 320 home run guy, and good defensive first baseman. You put him at first. You put Polanco at DH. You have Simeon at second and Beatty at third. Then you have an infield. I mean, it makes too much sense. But where's Stearns? Where is Stearns? What is he doing?
No, I mean, listen. None of them is any. No, like no one's anywhere. Tucker hasn't signed. Bellinger hasn't signed. Bichette hasn't signed. None of the real top starting pitchers for the most part. I mean, I know Dylan Cease and King have gone. But, like, I don't know what's going on. And that's why it's hard to get excited because I don't – like, if Bellinger signs with someone else, then I'm starting to get mad at the Yankees. Right? And we could say that they should do this and they should do that and they should go all in. I know they're not going to. Like, I could yell about it. Should they get a Bichette? Absolutely. They should go sign Bichette. That's what they should do. I've been screaming about it forever. I know they're not going to. I can't, like, every day. I know maybe, you know, to the 10 a.m. audience here, you know, midday here might not have heard my rant over and over again about Bichette, but I can't keep screaming it. They should go get Bichette. They're not going to. They believe in Volpe. They believe in Volpe. They're going to get another left fielder, I think they're going to get a starting pitcher, but they're comfortable with throwing out Yarbrough. Like that. They don't view the team as that much different than last year. Last year's team won 94 games. They're going to add starting pitching via injury. Like, they're getting back Gerrit Cole. They think Luis Hill's going to be healthy for the full year and be better. Max Fried and Cole are a dynamic duo at the top of the rotation. They feel like they've addressed a lot of their issues in the trade deadline last year. They got controllable relief pitchers. They got a third baseman who's under control for the next 2 years. Like, they've addressed the team. This is the team. They won 94 games last year and just didn't play well against Toronto. That's how they view it right now. They want to bring back Bellinger. And they want to run it back. Run it back with better starting pitching than last year. And they probably think to themselves, as long as we don't play awful for 6 weeks in the middle of July, we might win 100 games. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. All right, we'll break here. We're going to come back, talk to Brian Baldinger host of the Best Football Show podcast. We'll get to him. We'll go around the league a little bit. We'll find out how nobody breaks down the film better than Baldy. We'll find out how he feels on whether or not the New York Jets gave effort on Sunday. So we'll go around the league with him as well. McMonagle here with you in the midday. Got you for another hour and a half right here on The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
McMonagle back here with you on The Fan. And it's time to talk to Brian Baldinger. We're joined by Brian as an Odyssey NFL insider, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Brian Baldinger joins us again. Chris McMonagle here. Brian, nice to talk to you. Thank you very much for having a few minutes.
Yeah, happy New Year to you,
happy
man.
Good New
to be
Year
with
to you
this afternoon.
We're doing great. Well, we're New York football fans. So we're doing lousy, quite honestly, because it doesn't get any... Even when you win, there's reason to be upset, Brian. So I don't know how you feel about that. Maybe we'll touch on the tanking. But first, I wanted to ask you, I opened the show today talking about Aaron Glenn. Aaron Glenn and the way the Jets have played over the last month of December has been as bad as any team in the NFL. The score differential is as bad as any four-game stretch in December that we have seen in the NFL. They're yet to have an interception. This is a guy who came in talking about culture building, and he's questioned the team's effort and then kind of came back yesterday and said, no, I watched the tape. The effort was there. Well, nobody goes through tape better than you, Brian, so... Just a real quick question. What have you seen from this Jet defense in particular, but Jet team in general, over the last 4 weeks? Have you had an issue watching the games with their effort?
Well, it's, effort shows up in a lot of ways. The tackling was terrible in that game. But honestly, it's not an NFL roster. Yeah. I mean, it looks like an expansion roster. It looks like a preseason game for much of it. I mean, there's not an analyst in our country right now that could tell you who the starting secondary of the Jets is. I mean, they might know Malachi Moore because he's a rookie, but and maybe Brandon Stevens. But honestly, like some of the guys back there, some of the guys that are playing on the defensive front, I mean, they're practice squad guys that are forced to come up and play. Yeah. And you're going up against, you know, the highest rated quarterback in the league. The ball didn't hit the ground, you know. So you can question effort. I thought the tackling has to be better. But, you know, effort isn't just on Sundays. Effort is what you do. I played on a 1-15 team. I know effort means, you know, are you doing your treatments? Are you, you know, are you doing your film study? Are you doing anything extra? Are you putting the work in during the week so that game day you actually know what you're doing without thinking, you know, the practice? And so I think effort shows up in a lot of ways besides just Sunday's performance. But it's just not an NFL roster. The quarterback isn't an NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, Brady Cook's a nice guy, but he's not an NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
And so you just have to recognize these things, and you have to admit to it.
Yeah, I mean, it does feel that way. And they did trade away two of their best defensive players, and they're playing a non-quarterback. But it is just frustrating to watch, you know, that Patriot team come in and do whatever they wanted. And, yeah, you know, you mentioned May, the MVP. Well, I'm going to ask you some Giants stuff maybe at the end. But since you mentioned May and the MVP, we saw Stafford had a rough night last night. The two of them have kind of been battling back and forth for MVP. What do we make of these, you know, the playoff picture in both leagues is going to look so much different than it's looked over the last few years. But right there, between May and Stafford, do you have an opinion right now on who's been playing the best? Who's the best quarterback in the NFL right now?
Well, I mean, Stafford almost overcame three interceptions last night.
Yeah.
And still had a chance to win the game at the end. Like, he gives you that. I mean, they can just explode at any time.
Right.
Well, I would say that the schedule's been much tougher, you know, for Matt Stafford. The Rams just playing in that division alone. You know, playing Seattle, playing San Francisco.
Yeah.
The schedule's been much tougher than what Drake May has had to deal with, playing the Jets, playing Miami. You know, I mean, the schedule hasn't been as tough. They had a last-place schedule, but that's all right. I mean, Drake May is an improved player. He leads the league in a lot of categories, quarterback rating, yards per attempt. I mean, he's right there at the top of the charts. He's been exactly what every franchise is looking for and to build around. And Mike Vrabel and Elliott Wolff and that gang there in New England, they've done that with coaches, personnel people, and they built a good football team.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, you mentioned the Rams and their division, which is obviously incredibly tough at the top. Right now, one of the best units in football is that 49er offense. What do we say? Like, who can stop them right now? Brock Purdy, since coming back from injury in the last 2 weeks in particular, I mean, what they're doing, they hardly punt. I think we saw the first punt in 2 weeks in the second half of this game against the Bears. They're back and forth. He throws a pick six to start the game. They overcome it immediately. What do we see? Even without Kittle, they lose Kittle, and Tonjes comes up and has an incredible game. Like, right now, they seem like a team that is surging. They have a chance to be the one seed, not play a road game all the way through to the Super Bowl. You mentioned that as a very tough division. Is there a better team in football right now, or is at least an offense playing better than that 49er team right now?
No team is playing better offensively. Yeah. They've got questions on defense. Yeah. Chicago went up and down the field pretty good. They don't, you know, they've lost two star players, and you know, Fred Warner and Nick Bosa. So I mean, they played shorthanded, but they play hard though. They do play very hard. I mean, Salah's done a good job there. He might get a job.
I think he will.
He might get a job out of what he's doing, and really what he's been able to rebound from you know, his days in New York. But regardless, you know, no, look, Brock Purdy in the last 2 weeks now against Indianapolis, and then what we just watched, you know, he has 10 touchdowns, you know, between running and throwing.
Mm-hmm.
He's accounted for 10 touchdowns. I mean, any team in the league would take that right now.
Yeah.
And he never looks confused. He never looks like he didn't know what he was. Even on the interception, it was a tip ball.
Right.
You know, it was a good play. You know, probably, I don't know, you know, it was a throw. It was a typical slant, but it got tipped and picked off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it didn't faze him at all. They went down the next two drives and touchdown drives to go take the lead 14-7. They put it right behind him. But he is he's really smart. He's really well coached. And, look, they lost Trent Williams on the first play of the game on that interception. No George Kittle. You wouldn't have known the difference if those guys were in the lineup or not in the lineup.
Right. No, I mean, it's incredible. And what they've been able to do, and McCaffrey, 1,000-yard rushing, 1,000-yard receiving, is as dynamic a weapon as the NFL has, and that offense is cooking right now. It seems to be a dangerous team. And we get to the, you know, the NFC playoff picture. Again, we talked about the Rams, the Seahawks defense. They travel so well on the road. That game, 49ers, Seattle, for the number one seed and the bye. You got the Philadelphia Eagles. Let's start with the Eagles, too, because they're the defending champs. Yeah. How do we view this playoff picture in general? But the Eagles, if they play defense and look like they did in the first half against Buffalo, then they look like a team that can, again, if they can just run the football and play defense like that, they look like a team that can get back to the Super Bowl, but they've had so much trouble offensively. Is it the Eagles and everybody else, or is it, you know, because they're the defending champs, or are we looking out west with the teams we talked about in the Western Conference?
Well, I mean, did you know the Eagles beat the Rams this year? You know, they had to block a couple field goals in the fourth quarter to do it and to come back to beat them. But and the Rams gave them a game in the NFC Divisional Championship game a year ago. You know, it came down to a play late in the fourth quarter. But the Eagles' defense right now, I mean, they stole Jalen Phillips from the Miami Dolphins. What a pickup he is. They've got depth everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so they lose, you know, N'Kobe Dean. Here comes Jahad Campbell, first-round pick. He had a great game on Sunday. Jalen Carter is back healthy. I believe defense wins championships.
Yeah.
They had shut the Kansas City Chiefs out for the first three quarters in a Super Bowl last year. The offense takes long naps in the middle of every game. They did in the second half against Buffalo. It's been going on all year. The quarterback, if he's got a lead, he's not going to turn the ball over. Mm-hmm. He'll throw it away. He'll take a sack. He'll do anything but turn the ball over. And so, look, if they get behind, it might really get challenged. But they got playmakers that can do it. They've done it this year when they had to come back down 26-7 to the Rams, and they came back and won the game. Mm-hmm. When they have to throw it, they seem to be able to do it. But it's not a fun or creative-looking offense right now.
No. And then Seattle, obviously great defensively. They have weapons. You know, right now the best wide receiver in the game, arguably, along with Puka Nacua, mm-hmm. who we saw last night. Sam Darnold. Do we trust Sam? I want to ask you about the same thing with Bo Nix as well in Denver. I think two teams right now that defensively are good. They've won a ton of games. Even the quarterback play has been great over long stretches of the season. But in these two new looking, especially when we get to the AFC and no Kansas City, in this playoff picture where these are two dominant football teams, are these two quarterbacks that can get you to the Super Bowl?
We're going to find out because there are real questions about it. I saw Sam on Sunday in Carolina, and his team believes in him. I know that from the top all the way down. The players love him. He's had a good pregame warm-up last week, talked to him for a little bit. But he's got to go do it. He has in big games. He has turned the ball over. He's not taking care of it. The defense was good enough in a lot of games to overcome that. So, you know, credit to defense. And for Bo Nix, you know, he's not going to – he was in the playoffs last year. He's a much different player this year. The offense isn't great, but they do game plan very well. They do attack your weaknesses. They're about a 20-point offense right now. If they have to play Houston, I don't know if they're going to get – I don't know if anybody's going to get past Houston the way they're playing if they score 20 points. So I think we got to find out. I mean, I could tell you I think they can, but until they go do it, and they prove it, we're going to have questions about both of them.
Is Houston the best defense in the NFL right now? Without question? Yeah, without question.
Without question. I mean, Denver's very good. There's some good defense. Seattle's very good. Mm-hmm. They're both – all three of those teams are top four defenses.
Yeah.
But Houston right now is just violent the way they play defense. They look like an old Giants defense that Parcells coached, you know, Bill Belichick coached. I mean, they just played a game at a different speed. Everybody tackles. Everybody, smacks you. Will Anderson, if it wasn't for Myles Garrett this year, Will Anderson could easily be the defensive player of the year. Mm-hmm. That guy plays every play as hard as anybody in this business.
And so what do we think about the first? This is going to be the first AFC Championship game that doesn't have Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes in it since Steelers-Jets in 2010. That's how long those two guys, and obviously of recently Patrick Mahomes, has dominated this AFC picture. Obviously, they're not going to be there this year. Josh Allen hasn't been able to get over it. Obviously, if Lamar Jackson wins this game, maybe we'll get to the Pittsburgh Ravens game. If he's back in it, that's been a team. You know, Buffalo and Kansas City can't get over it. What do we think of this end of this AFC playoff picture without Mahomes? What team do we expect? Do we like Houston that much in the way they play defense? The Jacksonville Jaguars have really, with Liam Cohen, have changed the offense there, and the quarterback is looking so much better there. You still trust Josh Allen. The New England Patriots. How do we view this upside down kind of AFC picture from what we're used to, where it's pretty much Buffalo, Baltimore, Kansas City, and I'm not sure any of those three teams are the favorites heading in?
Well, I think you just said it. I mean, it's up for grabs. Yeah. And, you know, if you think about, you know, maybe the Giants' last Super Bowl, they were 9-7 in the regular season and then went on a tear. And so, like, let's just take a team like the Baltimore Ravens. Like, if the Ravens go to Pittsburgh and win this week, and we see Derrick Henry, what he did last week,
right.
If he does anything similar, like, I think that's the team that could go truck Houston. Because if you want to stop good pass rushers, you know, you take the pass rushing away from them by running it.
Yep.
And really, when they get Patrick Ricard healthy like he is at 310 pounds and Derrick Henry at 250 and Lamar Jackson reasonably healthy, I mean, if they want to run it down anybody's throats, they have that ability to do it. Mm-hmm. And it shortens the game. And, you know, that this might be the year, you know. But Josh Allen, the door's open. We're waiting for him to knock it down. They don't look good enough offensively to really do it unless Josh Allen just creates some kind of heroics, which he's certainly capable of doing. But I think it's going to come down to matchups. Like, I think Baltimore is the one team that can rattle Houston a little bit defensively. Mm-hmm. And maybe shake them up.
Do you like the Ravens then in this game against Pittsburgh? This game for the division, obviously they're coming off a devastating loss to the Browns, in which there's been a lot of accusations that they were too concerned about Myles Garrett instead of playing their game. What do we view their matchup? Who's going to come out and win this AFC North?
I think there's a lot of truth to that comment really? Myles Garrett made. I mean, their best receiver is Kenneth Gainwell, the running back,
right?
And he's there chipping on Myles Garrett and not in the route. On 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1, you know, some critical plays in a game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they do not have an explosive element. They lost Darnell Washington. They lose DK Metcalf for some boneheaded things on the sideline.
Yeah.
And they really need both those guys. And Aaron Rodgers, you know, was not very good last week. And the Ravens are certainly capable of doing similar things defensively than what he saw.
Mm-hmm.
And so Pittsburgh has had trouble. They did go to Baltimore and win, you know, 4 weeks ago, but they have had trouble against teams that can run the football really well. And so Buffalo went there and ran for 250 yards against them a couple weeks ago. So it's going to be a real challenge for Pittsburgh in this game.
Yeah, it is going to be tough. That's just a devastating loss. I mean, all they had to do was beat the Browns, and they didn't have to worry about this game. And now they watch the way they handled that game the other night, and the Ravens ran all over them. So, yeah, we'll see. I want to ask you about coaching before we let you go. And, again, we're talking to Brian Baldinger, and Insider Callers are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. The New York Giants clearly, obviously, will be looking for a new head coach at the end of this season. A lot of talk from the fan base and from us here that they need someone steady. Is there a chance, could you see, since we're talking about Pittsburgh and Baltimore, both those coaches have been long-term, just absolute smashing successes there, been there for 18 and 19 years respectively, but it has gotten stale at some point. You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers haven't been consistently get to the playoffs, haven't won a playoff game in years. And now, you know, since 2018, Lamar and Harbaugh just haven't been that winning combination as good as their regular seasons have been. Could you see the loser of this game? And there's been talk around it, fire Tomlin, chance from the Pittsburgh crowd, and, you know, questions about Harbaugh's long-term commitment to Baltimore. Could you see either of those two coaches shaking free if they lose this game?
I can't, but if one did, I would send the Learjet.
Right.
You know, to either Pittsburgh or Baltimore.
That would be it, right? You have to go get them.
If one of those coaches shake loose, I'd get them to my building, you know, pretty quick.
Yeah.
Because I think it's an attractive job, honestly. I like Jackson Dart.
Yeah.
I really do. And I know Malik Nabers coming back, and I think Wandale's going to be part of it. And, you know, Tracy and Scatterboo. I mean, there's pieces. And defensively, I mean, Abdul Carter's played very well the last month.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian Burns is an MVP candidate on that side of the ball. There's pieces there that you can really build with. The offensive line was pretty good this year. And I think that can only get better. They've got depth. Marcus Bowe stepped in at left tackle for Andrew Thomas, played well the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I understand it's the Raiders. I'm not getting too carried away. But still, I think it's an attractive job. Because I don't think this, you know, obviously they went to Denver. They should have won. They had a lot of games they could have won easily. They just, you know, couldn't finish these games out. I think this is a better team than a 3-win team, a much better team.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of pieces where you see these reclamation projects get turned around very quickly. It's happening in New Orleans right now.
Yeah.
If you get the quarterback and the coaching staff and you do it the right way, this thing can, I think, turn around pretty quick.
I mean, the Patriots were awful last year. The down the stretch, the Bears have been, you know, were terrible last year. They were 1-9, and look where they are. So I think it's a quick turnaround. Let me ask you about the quarterback since you mentioned him. A couple things. First off, Have you seen anything in his, because so much of the narrative of his run style and his constant trips to the tent, did you ever see a football player who was playing a style of football that could not be sustained? And if so, have you seen changes from Dart over the last weeks coming back from the concussion?
Well, they called some design runs the other day on third downs,
yeah.
And he ran for first downs. I mean, those are plays that you got to put in the playbook. He's good at it.
Yep.
He had a couple scrambles. He was really good. I mean, all these guys have to get smarter with the ball in their hands. Trevor Lawrence was banged up every year trying to do some of those things. Steve Young was constantly getting hurt trying to do some. You got to get smarter. You know, these guys are hunting you up pretty good. And the rules are made to protect you. You take advantage of the rules. Slide, get down, get out of bounds. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not the SEC. You're not going up against guys that aren't going to play in the NFL. There's a lot of NFL players in the SEC. But you got to be smarter, and you got to learn how to protect yourself. It's important.
Yeah.
It's important for the quarterback. Drake May is taking every snap up there in New England. It's important to take every snap as a quarterback and to keep yourself healthy, and you got to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you, and I think you have to. He's as he said, he's not a pocket passer necessarily. He's not.
It's okay.
He's not. Hey, you don't have to be. You don't have to be Joe Flacco, as he put it, and stand back there. You could have a different element to your game, and I think it's been huge for him. And let me just ask you real quick then, because there's been some talk about it. The Giants are clearly going to have a top pick, whether it's the number one pick or whether it's the number two pick. They're going to be at the top mm-hmm. of the draft. Mendoza seems to be the one quarterback as of right now, which could always subject to change before we get to the draft. The one quarterback kind of in this draft class. If you are sitting there as the New York Giants and you have an opportunity to either trade the pick or trade Jackson Dart and take Mendoza, do you have an opinion on that? Would you stick with Jackson Dart like the rest of us sane people? Or would you go with the draft pick and take Mendoza? What do you think of Mendoza right now?
I like Fernando.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, we're going to see what he does in the playoffs here. We'll all watch him this week. you know, he's under the microscope, which is good. We want to put these guys under the microscope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything right now says that he's going to be probably the top pick. But, I mean, I wouldn't – if I had a chance to get him, I would just stay with Jackson Dart.
Yeah.
I've seen enough of Dart to know.
Right.
I know that kid can lead. I think he does everything the right way. From the moment he's been drafted, I think he's done everything right. So I'd want to keep building with him right now.
All right, so thank you very much. Before we let you go, just give me a quick, what do we see coming out of the AFC? What do we see coming out of the NFC? Because I'm not going to get a chance to talk to you probably before then. What are we thinking heading into this final week? Who are the two teams that stand out to you headed to the Super Bowl?
I feel like, I don't know, it's going to be great. But, I mean, right. I'll take Seattle right now.
Nice.
I'll take Seattle. And then, you know, Seattle against Denver probably, or Seattle against Houston might be. I think Seattle and Houston, to me, like, I just think that defense is just that good in Houston right now. If they score 20 points, they don't lose games.
Yeah, that's it, right? It's up to Stroud. If Stroud and that offense can figure out a way to put up 3 touchdowns, you feel really good about that team right now. There's no doubt about it. Well, Brian, thank you so much for the time.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. We'll hopefully talk down the line sometime. If not, take care of yourself. Have a great new year. We'll talk soon.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. See, he gets it. He likes Jackson Dart. His Jackson Dart's dad doesn't have to tell him. We'll get to it next. I don't want to say it. Maybe Brian's still on hold. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you in the midday. Got you for one more hour. We'll come back and take your calls all the way to 2 right here on The Fan.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.